people might think that my Munster hat is too Munster. Got to get into a position where we're rewarding form as opposed to credit in the bank.
The Red 78 with Alan Quinlan and Niamh Briggs. Subscribe to the Rugby Channel on the OTB Sports app and turn on your notifications now.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Now, at 8:38 on this Tuesday morning, I can tell you that Irish menswear company Benetti has announced a 2-year partnership with former Munster, Ireland and British and Irish Lions player Ronan O'Gara. He's going to front Benetti's new campaign and its autumn-winter 2021 collection, which is available at featured retailers nationwide and exclusively online at benetti.ie. I'm delighted to say that Ronan O'Gara is with us now. Ronan, a very good morning to you.
Hi, Ron. How are you doing?
Yeah, very well. We were chatting a little bit earlier on about the psychology of All Blacks Week, and this is an interesting one in the context of Ireland over the last couple of years, because obviously the monkey has been firmly taken off the back if you look at it in the context of 2016 and 2018. But then you look at their most recent result and it was a pretty humbling one in a World Cup quarter-final. So where is that Irish psychology at in our relationship with the All Blacks?
I think it's all to play for, Owen. I think those games are an awful long time ago, and I think the psychology, as I said, has completely changed. The performance in the World Cup, be it against New Zealand, was probably predictable in the fact that the team was on a serious downward curve. So irrespective, I would think, be it the All Blacks, be it South Africa, be it Australia, be it England, be it France, you know, I mean, the losses in that competition were Japan and New Zealand. But as I know too well, it's something we've never got close to mastering, and it remains a massive frustration for anyone involved with Irish rugby. The underperformances at World Cup, especially 2011 being an obvious example, where it was Wales and Wellington with a quarter-final game, and we didn't get over the line. So it's hugely, hugely frustrating. But in terms of getting back to your question, I think I see it as a 50-50 game, and the fact that New Zealand playing Ireland in Dublin on a wet November evening, or hopefully even if it's a dry, it'll probably make it a better opportunity to see if we'll see more of what Ireland produced last weekend in the face of, I would think, a very passive defence.
How much are you reading into what Ireland produced last Saturday then? Is it something that you're saying to yourself, right, against better opposition, that style will still very much be there, but obviously it won't maybe count for as much on the scoreboard, or do you think we'll see significant tweaks this weekend?
Yeah, I was thinking of this question during the week, because I struggle sometimes when I watch sport and I listen to it, and a lot of people comment, well, you didn't have, this team never had a plan B. And it's something that always fascinates me, is that, and I know well, when you get to a final and you revert to plan B, but if you have such belief in plan A and you're trying to implement plan A, it's very, very hard to devote any time at all during the week to plan B, because plan A involves, I suppose, 23 players knowing their role inside out. And that never happens, because you never get perfection in a game and you never get close to it. But I think I was taken by surprise, I think, last weekend, because I think the Lions rugby of the summer left such a negative impression on me that I felt if that's the way top rugby played, the game is in trouble. But to see Ireland play like that, and maybe expectations were low and I was caught a little bit off guard, but I think for Ireland to play the way they did and to appreciate, I suppose, where the space was, made it such an enjoyable 40 minutes. And it came a little bit unstuck in the second half, but still a mightily impressive performance.
What elements impress you the most about it?
I think the willingness to play what they see, and it's very easy to say that, but I think before, a lot of these people would have been such structured players that I probably didn't think it was possible in Andy Farrell's probably time, that he was able to get people that were probably so robotic into playing a heads-up game of rugby. And I think that was probably I wouldn't say a new dawn, but it was as close you could see to playing what was in front of you as you ever were, because the Lions, James Lowe was running and was offering. I think that's very hard to replicate in training on, and I think his lines may be different depending on what a defender did to him, because you could see it was probably the unpredictability of where he was popping up, I think, caught the Japanese off guard. And you can't say Japan are a really poor team, because they ran Australia close the week previously. So, I think if you beat them by 20 points, a lot of people will kind of go, okay, that's a good day. But like to absolutely dismantle them and blow them off the park, I think a lot of people are kind of going, oh, this team is beginning to shift gears, I think.
That's really interesting what you say there about some of the players who you thought maybe didn't have that in their locker, or maybe stylistically you weren't expecting to see them play in such a manner. So do you think that maybe this has been something that's been worked on behind the scenes for quite some time, and maybe just with the England game at the end of the Six Nations and now obviously back out in this November internationals, that the Andy Farrell and maybe Mike Catt tenures are just starting to provide fruition at this point, and it just takes that little bit of time?
Yeah, of course it does, but I think it needs probably a lot of alignment of coaches too, and I wouldn't underestimate, even though it's a good friend of mine, Paul O'Connor, because I think to play that game too, you have to kind of drain the energy out of the opposition's legs. And you could see the maul was very effective at times at the weekend, but then I suppose the kind of dummy maul to moving the ball to width, we didn't really know watching the game, was it going to be a drive, or were going to be a shift drive, or was it going to be a drive to midfield, or was it going to be a drive to width, or was it going to be a drive to a kicking game, or was it going to be a drive to Gibson Park peeling off with the ball, or to Ronan Keller with the ball. So there was a number of huge, I suppose, variations to the game. But I think the big thing for me was the tempo and their willingness to keep the ball alive and play the ball with a tackle. It was another probably point that I wanted to raise, in the fact that, you mean, that's not to say that Joe Schmidt, because I have huge time for Joe Schmidt, because as a coach, he's an extremely brilliant coach. And but he put such emphasis on the detail around the rock and not believing in offloading the ball. And that's his philosophy on the game. And he beat New Zealand on that, and he got Ireland to number one ranked in the world. And that's a different way of playing the game. And for me, for this team to probably go to the other extreme now, it makes it fascinating to see which way we will go in the future, because the strength of Schmidt was his detail in the game, and he got and buy-in from his players. If you don't have buy-in, you're not going to get anywhere. But I think we saw up to the game on Saturday, Ireland were probably looking to play a different way, probably struggling a little bit to implement it. But then I think you went from probably a C grade to an A minus grade. And the only reason an A grade probably was the fact of the opposition. But you can be sure on Saturday night, when we have a look at the review of the game again, if Ireland are to play similarly to the way they did against Japan, I think it'll be you'll be looking at a victorious Irish team.
I think the other thing, Ronan, to talk about is the availability of the personnel. This was really the first time that there was a clean bill of health from the coach's perspective, that he could implement that game plan, and he had all his world-class players available to him and in form at the same time. So I've made this point a couple of times. Furlong was available. James Ryan is available, playing with a bit of a chip in his shoulder and fit. Caelan Doris starts. And Johnny Sexton is fully fit and playing well. I don't think he's had those four in, certainly to start a match and finish a game if he'd wanted them to. Just how important is that when you're a coach and you're trying to implement a game plan?
That's interesting. And is that, you've obviously data to back that up, you have?
Well, Caelan Doris came on and made his debut and got knocked out after 6 or 7 minutes. So he didn't play a full game. And then he came back last year in the summertime when the Lions were away. So they obviously didn't have those. You would have had some combination of them all playing at some time.
I think the point is deeper than that, though. I think it's a mindset. I think it's a complete shift. I don't think, irrespective of four outstanding players, that you mean a game plan shift is very, very different. It's you set up differently, and I think you have to train your mind very differently to how you're going about it. And I think it was just so refreshing at times not to go to a box kick. And I think you can see that Andy Farrell and his coaching team won a lot of new supporters at the weekend, because I suppose with the ambition they played with, and I suppose the endeavour they played with, and their capacity, I suppose, to see space better than they have in the past. And I think what's imperative this weekend is that we the Japanese game is a starting point and a new base for playing that kind of rugby, because it leads interestingly into, genetically Irish players. We don't have a Winnie Antonio or a Will Skelton, for example, a La Rochelle against Leinster, where we put a huge emphasis on winning collisions. But you look at what Paul Connell and Mike Catt is trying to do. They're trying to probably win space and run holes, as opposed to before we might have ran straight into people to get the ball over the line to win prick rock ball. But now you could see that there was a lovely variation in terms of picking holes and the active pivots outside the backs or behind the forwards, creating, indecision in defenders' minds, made it a day on the front foot for all the Irish players.
I was thinking about that point you made about not having a Will Skelton type player earlier on, because five of Ireland's starting eight forwards started for Leinster against you guys last year in the European semi-final. So what did you implement on that day? Obviously, having someone like Skelton available is a huge asset, but I guess tactically, what did you guys implement to nullify the threat of five of those forwards that are lining out as Ireland starters at the moment?
Oh, it's tiny margins you're talking about. It's very tiny margins.
Right.
We needed to be accurate and try and get our first two phases right. And then if you know on the third phase that it's a Skelton or an Antonio carrying, you have a good chance you're going to win the collision. Because even if you have a Joss van der Flea or you have a Ronan Kelleher, just by the law of physics, the bigger man is probably going to win that collision. Sometimes people are saying, well, no, the technique will always win. But sometimes when you keep hammering, I suppose, a big ball at the door gets broken down by the bigger man. So, but what the Irish team have is probably, and the Leinster team, they have massive fitness and they have great detail in their game. And you can see that at the weekend where you just saw that, playing ball out of the tackle, the difference it makes to the defensive line. They have no chance of getting back to come off the line again. You can do it once, but then if you do, there was, I think, several periods of passages of the game where the ball was played out of the tackle three or four times and the Japanese were completely chasing shadows. They were gone.
How important is Gibson Park in all this and what he brings to it? Because they've definitely made a point of making Gibson Park at the start second choice, and now it looks like very close to being first choice scrum half. They've shown a lot of faith in him. Even when maybe he wasn't first choice for Leinster, they were still picking him. So he's their guy.
Yeah, and that's interesting. And I'm not as up to speed as you are on this, because I'm probably watching it not with the detail that you're watching, to be brutally honest with you. But for the minute, he took his chance at the weekend. But I thought it looked like, I think what has happened from the weekend is that there are probably new selection laws or new selection rules in terms of, I would say, the team to play New Zealand will be very, very similar, if not the exact same, 23 or close to that, that did the business against the Japanese. But I think to remain in your place, you want to keep producing the goods. So I think Gibson Park will get the nod against New Zealand, it looks like. But you meet the level of opposition is going to be tenfold higher. There's no doubt about that.
What's in his game that you think that they like?
I think he moves the ball quickly. I think his brain works very quickly, and I think he's a typical Kiwi in the fact that he does the simple things really well, and that's where a lot of us kind of, I suppose, struggle at times. It looks that there are a lot of these guys have X factor, but actually they don't. A lot of them just are very, very belligerent in the fact that they believe in doing the simple things well. And Gibson Park, I think, is a good example of that. But what happened at the weekend, I suppose, because the ruck ball was so neat and so quick, he excelled. And especially, I think, that attacking kick he put through for Conway, it was better in slow motion than it was in real time. And I think that took a huge amount of skill to execute, and I put it in exactly the right spot. And I think he was fully in control of all aspects of his game. So it was a brilliant performance from a nine.
I just wanted to ask you about the All Blacks, Ronan. They've obviously been brilliant this year. They've clocked up 675 points in this calendar year, which is a calendar year record, eclipsing the box in 2007. Against Italy, it was a little bit more unfashionable, if I can say that, from a New Zealand perspective. Four of their seven tries came via line-out drives on the weekend. What's going to be interesting over the course of this World Cup cycle from their perspective is how they set up with the playmakers. Obviously, Mwanga and Barrett was a big talking point in the last World Cup. Last weekend, it was Mwanga and McKenzie at 10 and 15, respectively. How do you see this playing out over the next little while? Is it going to be the two Barretts, most probably, when it comes to their 10 and 15?
Yeah, it's fascinating. I think for the first time, probably in an awful, awful long time, it's very hard to name, I would say, five certain starters for on the New Zealand team. And they have such strength and depth, but I think there's massive competition for places. And you look at the front row, probably second row is easy enough to pick, but the back row, the half backs, the centres and the back three, it's very, very difficult to know which way they will go. And I think, yes, they have scored a lot of points, but I think they concede a lot of points as well. Ireland's defence, I think, would probably be stronger. Pressure rugby is a very different game to Super Rugby. And yes, New Zealand scored a lot of points, but I think also that probably, you mean South Africa had very little rugby coming off, I suppose, a dismal Lions series, which they scraped over the line. And they're beginning to find a bit of form. You look at South Africa getting stronger and stronger the more rugby they are playing, culminating with a good performance against Wales at the weekend. But and then they're playing Australia, and Australia were completely out of form at that stage. The Wales game was close for a bit, and I think Ireland will be out of sight if New Zealand start like they did against Italy, because the first 20 minutes they were completely, I was shocked how inaccurate they were, and they can't give away a ball cheaply like that in Lansdowne Road. But I'm fascinated to see what the makeup of the team will be, because I obviously have an interest, having spent time there and known, I suppose, the inner detail of a lot of their players. There's such competition for places, and there's different combinations of which way you can do it. But I can't wait for the team announcement.
When you say that they've been conceding a lot of points, like what areas are Ireland targeting in that regard then, that might expose, not an Achilles heel, but some sort of area where they might be able to make a count on the scoreboard against the All Blacks if they have been shipping more points?
I think they will if Ireland get tempo into their game and they're so accurate around the ruck, and I think they can potentially draw, you mean, if you draw three penalties out of New Zealand in the first 20 minutes, that could potentially be 9 points. And you score in the first 30 minutes, then Ireland all of a sudden could have 16 points on the board, which is huge. And you're saying there's a lot of things that have to go right for that, but I think Ireland are very, very disciplined, and they have a great understanding, I think, of the rules of the game. And I think Ireland would probably play a high-tempo game, but they'd also play, I would say, a very intelligent kicking game, and they look to isolate certain New Zealand wingers, depending on who they pick, be it either kicking behind them or putting the ball in the air, because so many of the back three from New Zealand are brilliant going forward, but their Achilles heel will be potentially turning them or in the air.
Sounds like you're pretty confident for Saturday, Ronan, that Ireland could do something.
No, I suppose I'm talking Ireland up a lot, obviously, in that regard. I think the skill set of New Zealand's team, 1 to 23, is usually what separates them. Their composure on the ball is excellent. Their lines are running, their capacity to hold inside shoulders. They make some things that are difficult. They make it look very, very easy. And when they get flow in their game, there isn't a better team in the world. But you look at probably the boost Ireland got last weekend. I think New Zealand have had a long time on the road, and they know they have Ireland and France. So maybe they're probably tipping along, and they know mentally that they have to go up a few gears this weekend to overcome what will be a ferocious Aviva crowd.
All right, Ronan, good stuff. Thanks a million for taking the call.
Cheers. Thanks, Owen.
Cheers. Just a reminder that Irish menswear company Benetti has announced a 2-year partnership with Ronan O'Gara, and he's going to front Benetti's new campaign and its Autumn-Winter 21 collection, which is available at featured retailers nationwide and exclusively online at benetti.ie.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.